I'd like to read from, in fact, read the entire book of Philemon, which is just in front of Hebrews, the Epistle of Paul to Philemon. An unusual letter addressed to the, I suppose, the bishop, the head elder of the Colossian church. The church of Colossae met in the house of Philemon. And there was a wee thing that had cropped up, a little problem, and Paul wanted to talk about it. And so he addressed this letter. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow labourer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech you, being such an one as I, Paul the aged, and thou also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech you, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, Paul led him to the Lord, led Onesimus to the Lord, and felt responsible for him, which in time past was to you unprofitable, but now profitable to both you and to me. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, as though it was me, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. That without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, as your servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive Onesimus as myself. If he hath wronged me, that wronged thee, or oweth thee anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto you, knowing that you would also do more than I say. And withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this beautiful picture of the mind of God. A man and a wife had a lovely life together. Their marriage was just idyllic. And after a certain time, a little baby boy was born. And that baby boy was the apple of the parents' eye. They just loved that little kid. And the father doted on him, and so did the mother, and they watched him grow. But a little while later, the marriage became under stress. And they rowed a lot. And the child seemed to even get in the way a bit. And they kept saying to each other, if it wasn't for him, I'd leave you. And then one day, the husband walked out. It wasn't much later than that, after he'd gone, that the little boy developed leukemia and died. The husband grudgingly, not for his wife's sake, but for the little boy's sake, came to the funeral. A year went by, and the husband was drawn to going back to the cemetery where the little boy was buried on the very anniversary of the little boy's death. He went to the cemetery, and there he saw that well-known little grave. He heard a noise behind him, and he turned and found his estranged wife was coming to see the same grave. And she hesitated for a while and then stepped forward and came forward and stood on the other side of the grave. And he held out his hand to her. And they remembered, as they clasped hands across that grave, they remembered all the beautiful times together. They remembered the life together, the little boy with them. They remembered everything. And they were reconciled to one another. Holding hands over that grave, they walked away and started their marriage again. And this time on a better footing, but they were reconciled by the death of their wee boy. This morning I just want to talk about reconciliation just for one second. I was convicted when I came across a particular point that absolutely got me. That God Almighty, who was offended by our sin, who had no reason to do anything because of our sin, actually planned our reconciliation. Have you ever thought of that? That he went a step further, and that he organized and orchestrated the total of our reconciliation back to him, even though he had been offended against. How many times, and this is what convicted me, how many times have we been offended? Inside the church, by our brother. I have been just recently. And that's, I suppose, why the full import of God's message to me was so great. I had been offended. I had done nothing wrong. I wasn't even in the country. And I had been offended. And I was sitting my dig, I suppose, standing my dig and saying, if they've got something against me, if he's got something against me, he can come and see me. But that's not God's plan of reconciliation. God's plan of reconciliation is seen in this picture of Philemon, where Paul wasn't in the wrong. Paul hadn't run away as a slave. Paul was doing no wrong, but Paul went, approached the very man from whom the slave ran, and said, "I'll pay the debt. I'll pay the debt, whatever the debt is. I'll pay it." Paul said. Paul didn't need to do that. He hadn't offended Philemon. He hadn't done anything personally to Philemon. But on behalf of Onesimus the slave, the runaway slave, Paul said, "I'll pay the debt." Thank God, He paid the debt that was mine. Even though, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet not reconciled, God paid the debt. When I was still sinning against Him, He still loved me. He paid the debt. And the message of reconciliation to me was this. Who am I? Who am I to stand my dig and wait for justice, for anything? Who am I? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The mind of reconciliation. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God? But this is what He did. He made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of us. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we read scriptures like this, can't you see the mind of God? Can't you see what is intended for each and every one of us? Because that scripture is following the very, very first verses of the same chapter. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If we were to do that, wouldn't we be showing the love of Jesus Christ to the world? Wouldn't we be showing the reconciliation of God to the world? Wouldn't people see the living reconciliation of God through us in our attitude one towards another? Wouldn't that be true? Romans chapter 5. I love this chapter. I call it the much more chapter. It's got a lot of much mores in it. I love the much more because I've been much more than covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been much more than saved. I've been much more than reconciled. I've been much more than brought back to Him. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So the ongoing life living Christ can become a part of us. We can be a part of Him. You know, when Jesus was walking on earth, and He said to the people gathering around, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And they all followed Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. By me, if any man... They all followed Him. But when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, partake of me, become a part of me, many of His disciples went away. They left Him. If we, you and I, were to realize, and I mean realize in an active state, realize the full reconciliation that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, we would then say this, I am nothing except in Him. I can do nothing except through Him. He has reconciled me by His precious, precious shed blood back to the Father. As Paul promised to pay
Philemon for any debts outstanding for Onesimus. Jesus has more than paid the debt that was mine and yours and reconciled us back to the Father. So the very one who was offended against, the Lord God of glory, originated and orchestrated and built the plan of reconciliation. Surely we in our Christian lives, as brothers and sisters in Christ, can exercise that reconciliation plan on a day-by-day, day-to-day basis and prefer the other person to ourselves and love them in Jesus' name no matter how they slap your face. It happens. I was convicted when I came across this particular thought that the God of reconciliation has put me in a position, instead of me standing waiting for justice, waiting for rights, but rather I should go to my brother who's offended me and hurt me and say, through the plan and pattern that God has put down for us in reconciliation, let us be reconciled one to another. The world would see it, and they would see the loving attitude one for the other, and churches would grow. Christianity would be known for its love. I pray that that which I have shared with you to this morning would be a benefit of help. Remember, the God of reconciliation, He who orchestrated and ordered reconciliation, we can live through Him in an attitude of reconciliation day by day. Let us do that.